The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the New Testament gift of prophecy? Is God currently giving special revelation through present-day prophets? Stay tuned, we have some clarity on this just ahead. Our website is faithalone.org. We hope you'll take the time to visit and browse through our resources and our events. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus. This is Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates. I'm Ken, and we have a very contemporary question by Robert. And he's talking about prophecy and the gift of prophecy, specifically how it's used in 1 Corinthians 14. His question is, what is the gift of prophecy here? Is it simply preaching the word of God? We'll look at some of these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes, he says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." And then he talks about prophecy in verse 3, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So Robert's question there is that simply referring to preaching the word? You exhort through the word. And he doesn't say it in the question, but I'm sure what he's saying is that he's heard people say, well, I believe that the gift of prophecy is for today, but it's simply preaching the word or interpreting the word accurately.
Well, yeah, that's a good question, Robert. The problem with that is he's describing the gift of teaching or pastor teacher. It could be, you know, in Ephesians 4, 11 and following, pastor teacher seems to be the gift. But the idea that simply preaching the word is prophecy doesn't fit, because that's the gift of teaching. And besides, look at the Old Testament prophets. What did they do? Well, for one thing, they told what was coming, right? Future events. But as you and I were talking, the prophets also would reveal messages to God or other nations, like the Edomites or Egypt or other nations, telling them the information they needed to hear. Even Jonah going to Nineveh, right? 40 days.
Right.
And then this destruction is coming. That was a message from God from a prophet.
But at the same time, he told them, now, what do they need to do? Repent, right? Well, his message was, this is what's going to happen, but they
understood that,
right.
They thought, maybe if we repent, we will be delivered. But you have lots of, if you read the major prophets, the longer prophets, and the minor prophets, you do see lots of teaching that's going, but it's teaching directly from God. In other words, they're giving special revelation from God. This is new scripture. So, yeah, an Old Testament prophet was someone who proclaiming what God wanted him to speak, which could be a message about the future, or it could be a message about the present. But either way, it was special revelation. It wasn't, the prophets weren't going, well, let's turn to Genesis 3:15 and see what that means.
Yeah, like, for example, I'm just doing a study in 2 Kings with Hezekiah. And when the Assyrian king says, give up or this is going to happen, he goes to Isaiah.
Right.
And what does Isaiah say? Don't be afraid of him.
Right.
Well, that's a word from the Lord.
Right.
That's not a future thing, even though he does also talk about the future, saying this is what's going to happen. But I've got a message from you from the Lord, which is, don't be afraid. You know, he's...
And then it does relate to future, because
right.
God's going to
right.
deliver you from, you know, the Assyrians.
Exactly. And so it's both.
Right.
He, you know, but you're right. He doesn't turn to Genesis 3 and say, okay, in Genesis 3, God says, don't be afraid.
So you and I aren't prophets.
Right.
In any sense.
Exactly.
What we are people who teach the word of God. That's the gift of teaching, not the gift of prophecy. And what we hold to at Grace Evangelical Society, although this is not a soteriological, that is an issue related to salvation, is that the sign gifts are not operative today. They ceased operating near the end of the time of the apostles. So Paul says, I left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Well, why did he leave him sick there when Paul, as an apostle, had the ability to heal people and even Paul raised the dead? Why didn't he heal Trophimus? Well, people say it's because the gifts had either ceased or were ceasing. But church history shows that the sign gifts did not operate during that time. Now, some people say, well, they started up again in 1908 with the Azusa Street Revival, and we've seen it since then. But all the evidence I see of prophecy and tongues and healing and raising the dead is very unconvincing.
Yeah, and the issue here is, you said it at the beginning of the podcast, he's talking about teaching. You know, when you define prophecy as simply expounding the scriptures, which is part of the question here then, well, then you've redefined the terms, because you mentioned Ephesians 4 about prophecy, but there's also teachers. But people combine those things and say, well, a prophet is a teacher.
Right. And the sign gifts, in my opinion, will come back during the tribulation.
Yes.
Because you're going to have the two witnesses who are going to be doing the types of miracles that Elijah and Elisha did, or the type of miracles that were done by Moses and Aaron during the 10 plagues. They're going to be able to do a lot of miraculous things. And it's quite possible that the 144,000 Jewish evangelists will have the gift of tongues.
Because they'll be going around the world preaching, and they'll need to speak in other languages.
Right. And I think they'll be able to share the message of everlasting life by faith in Jesus in tribal languages they've never learned.
Right.
And they'll just instantly have the ability to do that. So I do not believe that the sign gifts have ceased permanently. I believe they stopped at the end of the apostolic age. They will start up again during the tribulation. I don't know if they'll be operating during the millennium or not. But in any case, a lot of what we see, unfortunately, in the signs and wonders movement does relate to the doctrine of salvation. Because most people who are charismatic or Pentecostal believe in some form of lordship salvation.
Or Arminian.
Or
more common, right? You lose your salvation, right?
Well, but I think there's two types of lordship salvation, Calvinist and Arminian.
Sure, right.
So really there's not much difference between saying if you fall away, you prove you weren't saved in the first place, which some Calvinists would say, or saying, if you fall away, you lose everlasting life, as an Arminian would say, or if you fall away, you fail to win final salvation, as some Calvinists would say.
Right.
So there's really not much difference in all of that. The bottom line is, they say you must persevere. So one of the problems with the people in this signs and wonders movement, I know you've seen it a lot when you go to Africa, that there's a lot of that going on in Africa where pastors are highly motivated to say that they're prophets, right? Or that they're apostles.
Apostles,
haven't
prophets.
You met like 20-year-old apostles?
Oh, yeah, they're very common. And 20-year-old prophets, very, very common in those countries. You know, a young guy.
Where do you go? You go to Kenya and Zambia?
Zambia, right.
Yeah.
And there's a great Free Grace ministry in Kenya, Jimmy and Catherine there. And they always say this is just an ongoing issue. And it's a very practical issue, not only because we run into it all the time, but also if someone comes up to you and says, I've got a new revelation from God. It's not in the scriptures. I've got a new revelation from God. How do you respond to that? You know, what would you say to a person like that?
Well, this type of thing in charismatic and Pentecostal circles, it doesn't happen as much as it used to during the Jesus revolution and everything. But it used to be where someone might say, God told me you're supposed to marry Susie.
Oh, right.
Right?
Right.
Or God told me you're supposed to take this job. Or God told me you're supposed to move to this state. And, you know, people would sometimes do what this person would tell them, thinking this was literally some message from God.
I'll also tell you, based upon Robert's question here, that when I go to for example, when I go to Zambia and these, you know, class of 25, there'll be like eight guys in there that say they're prophets. And we'll talk about this. And usually what happens is most of them will say, yeah, I don't have new revelation. I'm just a teacher. And that's the question that Robert, that's what I mean when I say a prophet. I'm just a teacher. Well, my response to that is, okay, then you've just redefined the terms. You know, you're not talking biblically what prophecy is. You're just saying, okay, I'm a teacher. And if you're going to go by that title, and they'll say, well, you know, the Greek word is propheo, which means to speak forth. That's all I'm doing. I'm just speaking forth the word of God. Okay. Well, you redefined it. Well, just tell people, I'm just teaching the word of God.
Right.
Don't call yourself a prophet.
But I think in light of Robert's question, it is important to recognize that the New Testament prophets did edify, exhort, and comfort.
Right.
But they did this with new revelation.
Right.
They weren't doing it by interpreting something in the Old Testament scriptures or even interpreting something in the scriptures that were already circulating in the first century, like Peter in 2 Peter 3 talks about Paul's epistles as being scripture. And so evidently some of Paul's scriptures were already starting to circulate as a body of letters. But in any regard, they weren't, you know, reading some text and explaining it. That's what the teacher did. The prophets were giving new messages from God, special revelation.
And
we don't have that today.
Right. And I would also add that, yes, in 1 Corinthians 14, there are prophets. And there are teachers. They're separate. There are prophets. But that was in the first century. And that was when the apostles were still there. And so it shouldn't surprise us that there are prophets there, but we don't have them today.
And by the way, there were also female prophets. They called them prophetesses.
Right.
Philip the evangelist had four daughters that were prophetesses.
Right.
We're not told what they said. In fact, we have very little information about what the New Testament prophets said or did. We know Agabus told Paul that he was going to be imprisoned when he went to Jerusalem. And Paul's like, I know I'm going to be in prison. God's told me that too. Because Paul was a prophet also as an apostle. He had that gift. And he said, God's told me that too, but God wants me to be in prison.
Yeah, and I would just conclude by saying, we have everything we need in the scriptures. We don't need new revelation. So if somebody comes and says, I got a new one, just say, yeah, go tell somebody else that. And in the meantime,
keep grace in focus.
Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in Free Grace Theology? Please plan to join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.